Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. It's Dynamite 250, baby, and we had it go on in style. Before we chat about all the big news, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by legendary future Hall of Fame referee Jimmy Corderas and bookworm nerd George Hermosa. George, how are you?
You want to see something cool? I'm reading my Dr. Death Steve Williams book. Look at this bad boy. Autographed.
Whoa. Nice.
That's a sweet one. When did you get that, George?
April 21st, 2007.
Oh, cool. My goodness. Jimmy, do you have any signed Dr. Death memorabilia?
Unfortunately, no. Wait, I do have a scar. No, never mind.
Jimmy, you're wearing stripes, but not the stripes we're used to seeing you in.
I know. This is the golf shirt I was hoping to get out today, but it didn't happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Life took over.
Sorry. Life took over.
Well, we had quite an evening here on AEW. We're going to talk all about it. And I think a lot of folks here are excited. Justine, I haven't seen you in a while. Justine saying hello, Jimmy, Jack, and George. Good to see you, Justine. And
hi, guys.
As well, we had, Carrie Johnson saying good evening, lurking around. Always good to see you, Carrie, as well. William Curtis says, great show. Ethan Cruz says, yes, of course, the trademark of the show. Lots of stuff to get into. Excited to chat about all of it. Let's talk about a little bit of news, shall we, as we always do at the beginning of the show. By the way, shout out Ricky Sinclair, swung by draped in gold this morning. Good to see you, Ricky. Appreciate the support. Let's talk a little bit about some backstage news, some stuff that was going on. And Justine, by the way, thoughts are with you. Sorry to hear that news, but thoughts are with you. And of course, hopefully we can always be a place for you to come check out whenever you need a break from all the stuff you're dealing with. Backstage report on the state of AEW's sister promotion, Ring of Honor. A new report from Fightful Select indicates that there will be more care given to Ring of Honor. The upcoming tapings from Arlington, Texas were noted as something to be of a turning point, with the brand getting its own dedicated tape shows. A source reportedly indicated that this should lead to more consistent creative as a result of the show getting consistent treatment as opposed to tapings held at AEW shows. Jimmy, this seems to be great news for a lot of people who are especially tied to that brand.
Absolutely, because they've been forgotten about for a little while. I don't want to say forgotten about. They have been utilized at times, but they haven't been given a lot of attention to. And this means that they're going to give that brand some attention. I don't know if this means maybe they're going to spin off into, of course, everybody's going to say, oh, you don't have to be like WWE, but why not have it like a developmental system? Why not have it like a feeder system to the main roster and get them some television time and get them some television reps? You got a lot of people on your roster who are just sitting at home or sitting in the locker room just going, oh, I wish I had something to do. Now you're going to get a chance to give these people something to do. So I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, George, I agree with Jimmy. The first thing I think about when I think of Ring of Honor and how it can help serve AEW is it's a perfect developmental system, feeder system, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't have to necessarily have its own performance center or anything like that, but it's a place for people to get the reps, get the TV, get used to being on TV, help us get to know them as well as wrestlers. And I find something about NXT and having a developmental system is that a lot of us get to see people early on and root for them as their career grows. I think that would be a huge boon for AEW.
Yeah, I think it would be as well. I'm trying to like not make the comparisons because you have somebody like an Ethan Page, or even you had the OC come back on NXT last night, and we do see that a lot in Ring of Honor. I think it's great that you have a lot of main AEW talent go down to Ring of Honor. I just would like to see a little bit more consistency in regards to maybe who's their roster and who's maybe not who's visiting and who's not visiting, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have people like the Kingdom practically on TV every single week, whether it's Dynamite or Collision, but then you have Athena, who by far is one of the best women's champions that professional wrestling has ever seen, maybe have like a hiccup on a Rampage or a Collision or one of those shows. So I just, you know, it's cool that we're going to see hopefully a little bit more energy put into that. I think it's still a little tough for a lot of people because it's part of Honor Club. Like, what really is there to offer with Honor Club aside from the library? Is that enough for people to subscribe? I don't think so, at least with NXT when it was on the WWE Network back then. Granted, NXT, you know, a lot of people said that was worth the price of the network alone. You know, that's all talk because they also had a massive library in addition to all the pay-per-views that they had. So I'd like to either maybe have people them lower the cost of Honor Club or finally unleash this great library that they have access to with AEW, maybe have that included with whatever it is that they're going to do hopefully in the future.
Yeah. Last thing on this, Jimmy, is I agree. I think the thing with Honor Club is it's a tough paywall. It's tough to put something like Ring of Honor behind a paywall. This day and age, when you have AEW and you have so many of the talents that are on Ring of Honor on AEW, and it's kind of vague what it is as opposed to AEW. It's kind of vague who's where. And outside of Athena, you don't really know what's going on Ring of Honor unless you're already following Ring of Honor. Now, it sounds like that's going to change, but I agree with George. It's a tough ask for me to pay a monthly fee for something sight unseen and without really a whole lot of buzz about what's happening on it outside of the people who are already on Dynamite.
Yeah, you're exactly right, guys. It's very tough to get people to say, oh, I'm going to pay to find out what this is all about. Let people find out what it's all about, get them interested first, and then you could possibly look into having a paywall later on, somewhere down the road, once you have the numbers, once you have the viewers, once you have people invested in the product. You know, maybe dedicate some space on a Rampage or something like that where you can showcase these talents and mm-hmm. make – I don't know if you want to make the whole show ROH, you know, Rampage.
Yeah.
You know, the entire show, all ROH talent, but – maybe that's something to think about because you look at the numbers, they're not quite there, unfortunately, for the talent that is on the show right now. Why not do that and see if you can build on that?
And hopefully it offers something different as well. I feel like every time I do see clips of Ring of Honor, it seems like it's AEW light. Like we're just seeing just maybe a less scaled AEW as opposed to when we saw NXT on the WWE Network. There was really nothing that was being presented like NXT on WWE. One of the reasons why ECW failed the WWE version is because we just saw, this is just another version of WWE. It's just an extra hour of TV. It wasn't the ECW that we thought we were going to see. And I think that's why it failed. So I'd like to see whatever they have plans for Ring of Honor. Give me something that's not AEW. Give me something different that's going to make it unique from AEW.
Yeah, and that's almost impossible when it's either before or after Dynamites, because you're right. Yeah. It's going to look exactly the same, except the crowd's going to not be as into it. They're going to be tired. When you're at these shows and they go to the dark matches, they're fun, but as a crowd, this is a dark match. Mm-hmm. You're not as invested. Right. You know what's happening. To have their own shows, if they can get them their own branding, and by branding, I mean the way NXT, and I hate comparing because people get crabby when you do it, but when you looked at NXT versus Raw, they were very clearly different things. I mean, even today, NXT and Raw, NXT, SmackDown, very different shows. You're never going to confuse the two. Where I think now with Ring of Honor, if you're just looking at someone in the match, you can't really tell that it's a different show because it's all the same exact staging and setup. And so hopefully this does differentiate it a bit. And again, hopefully this gives a lot of people. I'm a huge fan of more people, more opportunities, and giving them a chance to stand out. And so hopefully this does give a lot of those people who maybe don't have their foot in the door at Dynamite to have a chance to get their foot in Dynamite. And to your point, Jimmy, about Rampage, I agree completely. I think the people who tune in every week to Rampage are going to tune in because they like pro wrestling and they're tuning into that stuff. So why not use that to let me look at who the future could be or some people who typically aren't getting the time that they would like to see. If you had Athena on Rampage every week defending that title and doing the things that she's doing, I think there'd be a huge conversation about her being one of the best women's wrestlers in the world right now. Right. But because she's hidden behind a paywall, it makes it tough to have that conversation.
Absolutely, it does.
You know, I have a radical idea that I think, I don't know, just it's so right. It's nothing big. It's just like, is it even worth it? Is it even good business to, like, let's say you have Rampage, right? Put on the absolute worst show you can put on, like, 1 week, right? Promote, you know, bad matches, whatever. Just have give it no reason to watch, right? And then you look at how many viewers it gets. There, at least you have your starting point on saying, man, these guys will watch anything, and then maybe build from there.
George, I don't think you should ever run a television show.
I'm just saying, like, oh, wow, 100,000 people watch Rampage, even though it was garbage. Wow, at least we know we got 100,000 diehards.
The scary thing is that if they do something like that, George, and the numbers don't change, then we know that they maybe should try this ROH thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ROH thing would be the best thing for Rampage, but I've always said at this point, the best thing, I think they should make it more like those old weekend shows that WCW and WWE used to do, where it's like the recap show where you have something like this happened on, you know, Dynamite earlier this week, and they kind of show the important stuff, and maybe there's one match on there that's kind of cool, but it's mostly sort of catching people up so they know what's going on. I think that though, I think those are very valuable and helpful to a lot of people, to be honest.
I was a big Livewire fan.
Yeah. Livewire velocity, as Scott Langford says here. Yeah. Stalking you with the dog emoji. Always got a shout out stalking you. But there's some other thing going on in AEW. There's rumors. So this is weird. Fightful reported that AEW was eyeing a stadium show sometime in 2025. But then friend of the show, friend of Wrestling Inc., Liam Crowley, interviewed Tony Khan. And Tony said that he does not have an eye on that in the immediate future. George, wait, first off, very cool. Former Wrestling Inc. host here, Liam. Very cool dude. Follow his work at comicbook.com. Very cool he's getting to interview Tony Khan. Tony Khan, when am I getting my interview? I want to chat with you, pal. But this, it's interesting to me. You obviously want to do a stadium show. You obviously don't want it to be necessarily not a full stadium, though. But Tony Khan's words and the way he talked in this were very interesting to me. He didn't say no. He said, we're not looking at doing that immediately or in the near future. Do you think that he's just trying to hedge his bets on this and not maybe commit to something too soon?
I think so. I think they're wanting to get through one stadium show before they start looking into another one. You know, UK is a different crowd. And it's crazy because I already saw a little bit of buzz if they were to do a stadium show out here in the States. I know the rumor was Texas, maybe. I think maybe they're trying to, you know, gauge the interest, and they're going to be in Arlington for that little residency for a little bit, which is not too far from Cowboy Stadium. I mean, that'd be pretty ballsy for them to run that stadium, but you know, you can't blame a guy for thinking big. You know, obviously money is not an issue when it comes to running those stadiums, but I honestly think he was just trying to scale it back because he wants maybe put a lot more energy into the next stadium show as opposed to the one that may or may not happen a year from now.
Yeah, Jimmy, it's you know, contrary to, I get what you're saying, George, about the, you know, money's no issue. Money's an issue for everybody. Let's, you know, sometimes I see people willy-nilly say that Tony Khan can spend as much money as he wants. He's got a ton of it. Everybody everybody has a price. So sometimes I feel like maybe we got to reel it in a little bit on he can just spend whatever he wants. But man, I think it'd be great if AEW was able to do a stateside stadium show. I don't know if that's something that they should be doing right away.
Yeah, I think this is somewhere down the road, if at all, because, you know, the first thing everybody's going to talk about is if they plan something like this is, look, they can't even sell out an arena show. How are they going to do a stadium show? And that's going to be the talk, and that's going to be the chatter on the old intertube or interweb or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, hopefully he can, you know, turn his business around, because that's what we want. We want to see him be able to turn his business around, but he has to start thinking like a businessman in the wrestling business, not just, hey, if I spend money, I'll make money. Sometimes you spend money and it doesn't come back. And nobody has a bottomless pit. You could claim all you want, but the bottomless pit runs dry eventually. So, and even if it doesn't run dry, somebody will say, you know what? That's enough money for you. You're done. Right. So, you know, it is a lofty goal. Right now in the cards, I don't see it happening, like you said, right away, maybe in the future, and hopefully in the future. I'd like to see something like that happen and be successful, but he's got to work at it, and he's got to, again, take some ideas and some suggestions from those around him that know what they're doing.
Well, someone who's doing pretty well in AEW, Swerve Strickland, seems excited, potentially, maybe, cryptically, about the thoughts of potential Trevor Lee making his way to AEW or Ring of Honor. Trevor Lee, formerly known as Cameron Grimes, of course, he has a 90-day compete clause that's on the verge of expiring, and it seems that the independent wrestling world is ready for Trevor Lee to come back. On X, he said, 1 week until I'm a free agent. Then Swerve responded with a little where the sand comes through the
hourglass.
An hourglass. That's the phrase I'm looking for. Jeez.
I have one. That's why I know.
A little hourglass there. Jimmy, I'm a big fan of Trevor Lee. I thought he did a great job in WWE. Mm-hmm. I think that he's one of those guys that probably could still be there if maybe things worked out just a little bit differently. But I think Trevor Lee would be a good pickup. I think Trevor Lee will have a very successful indie run, whatever he looks to do. I think Trevor Lee is going to be just fine in pro wrestling.
I think he will too. Obviously in WWE, somebody didn't see something in him that they thought was worth re-signing him. And that's why they let the contract expire. So, you know, it happens. All it takes is one guy to say, you know what? I think I see something in this guy, and two other guys to go, nah, I don't see it. And then guess what? They don't get their opportunity. But Trevor Lee is a guy who has name value and can go out there and make a good living on the indie circuit. It doesn't necessarily have to be AEW, especially if he wants to work. Mm-hmm. If he wants to work right now, I think the indie scene is flourishing, and that might be a good option for him right now, because I know AEW is talking about, yeah, but you can get the paycheck at AEW, but you only work once, maybe twice a week, if that, when you're actually on TV. So there's only so much space, as we've said here many times, there's only so much valuable TV space, and Chris Jericho is taking up so much of it that maybe there isn't enough time for him.
The learning tree. We're going to have fun talking about that one in a little bit. But George, yeah, I'm a big fan of Trevor Lee. I'm a big fan. And I don't mean to, when I say, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. Sometimes in pro wrestling, too, it's just not the right time. Because, yeah, there's only so much time to go around, and maybe just didn't work out. But Trevor Lee, I mean, what kind of ceiling do you see on this guy? Do you see him being someone who's like an AEW champion down the road? Do you think he's someone who's going to be just good on the indies, like a Matt Cardona, where he's cleaning up there? What do you think about this guy?
You asked me what kind of ceiling he has. Come on, say it with me. I see him going to the moon. but yeah, truly sky's the limit for this guy. Sometimes getting released by, you know, anybody, whether it was WWE or AEW, whoever, can be the best thing to happen to you. Just ask Drew McIntyre, just ask Matt Cardona, just ask many other guys that, you know, kind of betted on themselves and came back, whether they want to come back to AEW, whether they want to come back to WWE, came back better than ever. And if that's what he really wants, then that's what he's going to get. I remember back in the early days of Wrestling Chatter, we had a little show just kind of, you know, when we were just chatting about stuff about like Rusev on like whether or not he, you know, should have been released or whether or not whatever is that. And the whole, I think what you guys were saying was, if this guy really wanted it, like, he's going to be successful no matter where he's at. Mm-hmm. You know, WWE is just a platform to you know, have your art, right? Or to kind of paint on a canvas. And whether he looks at that as, you know, oh, WWE is the only place I can do that. Cool. That's for something for him to decide. If he thinks that he can use, you know, AEW's platform and maybe get even bigger than WWE, that's for him to decide. We've seen guys like Swerve's, Tony Storm, many others as well flourish in AEW far more than they did in WWE. So again, at the end of the day, it's whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to accomplish. If he want all roads lead back to WWE, great. That's awesome. Fantastic. If he wants to just kind of be the wrestler and maybe just see what AEW has to offer, great. That's awesome. You know, whatever he wants to do. But I truly believe whatever he decides to do, he's going to be quite successful at it.
I always like to think of it, if you compare it to acting gigs, right? And someone's on a TV show and it's a big TV show and the TV show says, hey, we're not going to have your character on the show anymore. That's a bummer, but you can, there's other shows you can be on. There's movies you can be on. Maybe you become a movie star and then you come back as a guest on that show, you know, or you look at SNL, they have cast members there forever and they eventually leave or get fired. And before you know it, they're hosting the show. So,
There's even some people on SNL that were only there for like one season and now they're doing amazing things.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, WWE clearly is the biggest platform. I'm not trying to belittle that at all, but you're right. I think there's still opportunity, and that's what's great about this time in pro wrestling. Right. The interesting thing happened with Dalton Castle on Collision, by the way. The end of the Dalton Castle Roderick Strong match on Collision was edited. On Monday's edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave Meltzer reported that Castle had been knocked out just before the final pin count, seemingly after being caught flush with a knee strike from Strong. As a result, Castle didn't kick out of his subsequent pinfall attempt as planned, leading to a situation where the referee stopped his count before restarting it and counting Castle out. The finish, which Meltzer described as a mess, was then edited to avoid showing the stopped count as well as shortening the time Castle could have been knocked out on the mat. It's unclear what Castle's condition is following the match, and Castle himself hasn't spoken about the incident at this time, though he has retweeted highlights from the match on his social media. Now, hopefully, obviously, it goes without saying, hopefully Dalton Castle is okay. Hopefully he's not injured, and hopefully he's able to come back and wrestle well. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this, though, on the art and science of pro wrestling. I know you're a stickler for certain things. Editing the match. I think clearly we know why they edited the match.
Right.
Do you feel like that's fair, if that makes sense? Is it within the rules to edit a match to avoid people seeing stuff like that? Or do you think like, hey, man, it happened. You got to show it how it happened.
I'm a stickler of show it as it's played out. You know what I mean? I can understand why he didn't count. He's had a recent incident like that in the WWE as well. And, you know, there's been a lot of debate over whether the referee should count, whether they shouldn't count, because it's not the planned finish for the match. We were told back in the day, bottom line, without it couldn't have emphasized it any stronger. If they don't kick out, you count three.
Yes.
And if you can't see both shoulders, you don't count until you can position yourself to see both shoulders and all that sort of stuff. But the main thing was, if they don't kick out, you count three, because they, in their minds or in the big boss's mind at the time, it looks absolutely horrible to the audience.
Yep.
There's, especially when it's egregious and you can't, there's no wiggle room to say, oh, well, maybe there was a shoulder up over here or, you know, sometimes you used to fudge the numbers. If somebody wasn't kicking, you'd slide your hand underneath their shoulder. But the big thing is, you have to make eye contact with the guy who's being pinned. That's what you got to do. Make eye contact. And what I used to do is, if I'm coming down for three and you know, you can almost have that tell where, it doesn't look, I'll scream kick.
Yeah.
I'll say, kick out, because, you know, hopefully they will. And
right. If
they don't, I'm sorry, you got to do it. They had the luxury of being able to edit this situation, but if it was a live situation, what do you do?
Exactly.
Everybody would have poo-pooed all over it. And I'm sure the live crowd there did, before re-editing and shooting it again. But you got to count three, unfortunately. It's the right thing. It's the wrong thing. By not counting, it's the wrong thing to do sometimes for the right reason. But
yeah, George, in your opinion, do you think that editing the footage is fair? Do you think that they should do that? Or do you think that if it's a mess up, you got to air it the way it happened?
I think it's perfectly fine to edit the match. They are presenting a television show, and they're going to do whatever is needed to present the television show, whether they needed to edit it. How often, and this is a legit question, Jimmy, I know it happened. So how often did it happen in your scenario where they would tape something for SmackDown and then they'd redo it again because they know it's taped and they know that, you know, they have time to fix it before that it air on Thursday?
It's happened before, and it happened in big matches and main event matches as well. Yeah. Because if I could peel the curtain back a little bit, I don't know if I'll get heat for this, but hey, you know, that's what I do here. The big cage match between Undertaker and Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship, which ended in a tie. Remember when they both dropped down and hit the floor at the same time? And then we went to the instant replay to determine they did the split screen to show them both landing at the same time. Guess what? They didn't land at the same time. Wasn't close.
Right.
It was not close. And you know what? With creative editing, they did the split screen and made it look like they landed at the same time.
So. But then you can see in the background that like Batista was like higher, when they showed Undertaker's feet hit the floor, you can see in the background Batista like still on the cage. So that may be like a little editing faux pas. But yeah, I just say do what you got to do. What exactly are they trying to cater to? Is it going to sound like a knock? Might be, but like, are you trying to cater to the 1,000 fans that are in the crowd, or are you trying to cater to the hundreds and thousands of fans that are watching on TV? Right. So I think they should be doing whatever is needed to present it to the mass audience.
Right. Yeah. I think, by the way, I want to give a shout out to the team that put together that instant replay that quickly, and made it work. Cause there's probably some editor backstage who is just sweating trying to get that set up so it looked right.
Quick story, the instant replay was thrown in after the original idea for the finish work, and guess who accidentally came up with that?
Was that a Jimmy Corderas invention?
It wasn't an invention. It was an offhanded comment as a joke that ended up being used. So when they were going over the match, you know, they were talking about landing at the same time. Mickey Henson and I would discuss it. And, you know, it'd be, no, he landed first. No, he landed first. No, no. And then we couldn't come to a conclusion, then call it a draw. And then I just said, yes, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the instant replay. Ha, 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 ha. And they said, okay, they went to the truck. Can we do this? Can we do a split? You know what I mean? So I just threw it out there as a joke, and they ended up going, okay.
I have a quick question. Were you ringside for the 94 Rumble with Brett and Luger?
Oh my goodness, my brain fart.
I'm only asking because I heard a rumor that their feet did not land at the same time. Because if you notice, there was a cameraman shooting it, but we never saw that angle because rumor has it that they didn't touch at the same time and it would have ruined the, you know?
Right. Boy, I got to remember. I got to go look back. I'm sorry, George.
To put you on the spot. I was just, you know.
No, I remember some rumbles, but that one, for some reason, I don't remember very well.
Well, we have a lot of people who I want to give a shout out to in the chat. I Am Error, of course, J.R. Smith, Russell Peter, Laura Rock, Carlos Barrera, and Ricky Sinclair. I already shouted you out, Ricky, but I'll do it again. Blue Chew, Adonde, Ricky Zaldivar, William Curtis, Scott Langford, Joe C., Maria, Dylan, and Jonathan, and King Art, and everyone else. Appreciate you all. Lots of folks here. I appreciate the likes, the comments, the shares, the subscribes. They all really do help us out. 5-star reviews, always a big, big deal for us on Apple Podcasts. So if you could hit us with a couple of those, that'd be appreciated as well. And Brian, by the way, finally joining us live. Thanks for you joining us live. It's always good to have you here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's talk about this show, by the way, and we start with a wrestling match, and I feel like wrestling match may not be selling it enough. This was a doozy for the international championship, MJF versus Will Ospreay. It went literally as long as it could go without it being a time limit draw. And it was a big one that came down to MJF using the Dynamite Diamond Ring and getting the win. He's the new international champion. George Hermosa, I'm going to you first because Jimmy and I, we got a big argument we're going to get into, and I already know it has nothing to do with the quote in-ring action. But George, I loved it. What'd you think?
I thought it was really, really good. I thought there were moments that were a little lull, to be honest with you. I just kind of look back at it, and I'm like, did this match need to be 59 minutes and 58 seconds long? That's only an answer that pretty much like Tony's MJF and Will can answer. But if you're going to ask me for my opinion, I think so. I honestly think it needed to be that long because the fact that he won, if it would have went the hour long limit, I would have been like, dude, this is silly. But the fact that he won in 59 minutes and 58 seconds adds so much more to the story of the match itself. And with that said, the last 5 minutes I thought was phenomenal. I thought it started great. I thought it ended great. I thought the middle was okay. But overall, I thought it was just a great wrestling match. A lot of people like to have mentioned, why is this on free TV? Why is it not? Dude, who cares? Like, people are just going to complain just to complain. The fact that it was on free TV, great, awesome. I'm sure we'll see at the pay-per-view something even better. And I'm excited to see what that it's going to be.
Blue Chew, I see what you're doing here. Says, not gonna lie, best TV match since at least Hogan versus Nash on Nitro, January 4th, 1999. As a late period WCW fan, that was a banger, man.
One more time, George. One more time with it.
That was the high spot.
There you go.
Man, I love this one. I had so much fun watching it. I thought I loved how it continued to. It felt like it was two guys who didn't like each other, were competitive, got heated. It felt like it got more and more heated as it went. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this match, and I want what I know is going to be your critique.
Okay. First of all, let me start off by saying I really enjoyed the match for the most part. For the most part, it was so, so good. I thought, I even said it, a hell of a match. I enjoyed both guys. MJF, don't get me wrong, I was into MJF before, but now he's won me over with his in-ring style and being that heel, that old school heel, meshing with that new school Will Ospreay. See, old school and new school can mesh together when it's presented correctly. Mm-hmm. And that's what these guys did in that match tonight. They put on, you want to talk banger? That was a hell of a banger. That was a super banger. That was a double banger with cheese. I mean, these guys put it all out there. It's just like you said, the certain little things that I thought was not necessary because it was so good for me for that moment or a few moments, it took me out of the match. Again, being someone who comes from the world of the striped shirts, it just made me frustrated because they could have done all that gaga within the rules because this wasn't a no count out match. There wasn't referee's discretion. Every time I hear that, I want to pull out what's left of my hair. Mm-hmm. It just makes me go crazy. What referee's discretion is there? In hockey, if you elbow somebody in the face, is that, well, it's a playoff game, so I'm not going to call the penalty. No, that's the rule. You can't elbow a guy in the face, and the referee has to count when both competitors are outside fighting outside the ring. Now, he could not start right away. He doesn't have to go, come on, guys, get in there and start counting right away. You can fudge the numbers a little bit, but at least put a count on. When they're fighting up into the crowd, you just lose me. Yes, I know the crowd is going crazy and they love it. And then the referee has to chase them all up there. Why? I don't know why they're leaving the ring. There's no point for them to leave the ring. That just, again, don't get me wrong. I love the match. Like George said, I love the finish, the way it played out, because it had everybody biting and thinking that this was going to be a time limit draw. And they did it quick with the ref bump on Bryce, had the ref turned down a little bit. And that's when MJF got the ring. Bang. It was quick, easy, simple, and they got the desired result. And now you got something to look forward to going into Wembley. And like I'm saying, it just bothers the living you know what out of me when I see stuff like that, because it's not, they could do better. They could do better than that. They didn't need it. These guys are that good where they didn't have to do that.
I want to say something because I know I agreed with everything that you were saying, Jimmy, until you started comparing it to real sports. Because in American football, I don't know if anybody knows this, there's holding in every single play.
Oh, yeah.
Every single play there's holding. But I think the referee chooses when to throw the flag depending on how it affects the play. So I think it's a little bit different. Like, I'm just saying, like, I agree with you, but I'm saying, like, in sports, there is kind of this referee discretion as well when it comes to when to throw a flag or when to call a foul.
Okay, let me ask you this in football. I'll ask you this, all right? Yeah. There are how many linesmen on the field regardless? But there's one official, right? Mm-hmm. One referee?
There's a lot of
officials, but who can throw the flag?
The coaches. Anybody.
What? No, who could throw the flag for a penalty?
Any referee.
Any referee.
Yeah.
Even the linesman can throw a flag for a penalty.
Yeah.
They can call offside, but they can't call a penalty. Can they?
I was under the assumption that any referee can throw it, can throw a flag. But I know I know what you're saying. Like there was probably other looking for.
There's 11 guys on each side of the field. There's, you know what I mean? So yes, there's going to be holding on every play because you can kayfabe that stuff. If you know what I mean, brother, but it's two guys. They're outside. Do you know what I'm saying?
I
said, you can count differently. You can slow your count down. You can do that, but to not count at all, and let the guys fight out there for a couple of minutes? No.
This is where the disagreement happens. Is I get everything you're saying, and you're not wrong, Jimmy, but I look at what they did on the outside, and if you ask me, would I be okay with them enforcing the rules, but that means I don't get MJF's head in the trash can and the little girl or kid hitting him and all that stuff? I think I'd rather they let it go and let me have these fun moments. I think I feel like it was okay because I thought it was really fun and I was into it. And I know I know this is where, as fans, we definitely part ways because I'm like, whatever, anarchy, I'm into it. But I don't know. I felt like there's a lot of fun moments in there that I'm okay with happening.
Wouldn't that moment been more fun for Will Ospreay to hold MJF in Wembley Stadium and let somebody with the crowd going banana while a little girl was doing that? Save it for that. You can't give them everything in one night. Yes, I love the fact that they put this on television. I was kind of skeptical at first, but after watching it, I said, you know what? Good call. Mm-hmm. I will tell them. I give them their flowers for that. Good call.
They put it on Dynamite because if it put on pay-per-view, then they can only have 12 matches instead of 15.
Oh, well, gotcha.
Well, I will say, I mean, this was their 250th. This wasn't just like a random night, to be fair. But let me ask you this. Scott Langford says MJF should have won by DQ because he was attacked by someone not in the match. As a referee, do you say discretion means they shouldn't have ended the match?
Well, now you're getting a little too carried away. It's a little girl giving a little nudge there. It was a comedy spot. It was fun.
If we're in a court of law here, Jimmy, well, I got it.
Well, technically speaking, then the little girl should have been DQ'd. There you go.
And kicked out of the building, for goodness sakes. She should have been kicked out.
But also, you know, people are saying, I even let the table spot slide, even though that should have been a DQ as well.
I do think with the outside stuff, something that this is just an in general thing that I don't know what the rules are. Maybe I'm incorrect in this, but I always feel like when the wrestlers go outside of the ring, the ref at the very least, whether we're counting or not, I feel like should go outside also and should be there around them. Because if you are in the, how do you know they're not hitting each other with weapons? You're all the way in the ring. They're all the way out there in the stands. I feel like the referee should be joining. Now, maybe, am I wrong on that, Jimmy? Like, are they not allowed to leave the ring? I just feel like if the wrestlers leave
over the barricade, you mean into the crowd?
Yeah.
That's what security is for.
But
security is the ones who follow them. You start counting. And once you count them out, then you can go out there and make sure that everybody's okay.
When it's prolonged outside, I feel like the referee should be get back in the ring instead of just kind of standing there, especially if they're in the, like where they were. And again, I love this, so I'm arguing against myself right now, but like, you know, when they're way into the crowd, I mean, how does the referee know that these guys aren't hitting each other with chairs and stuff? He's halfway across the arena with a bunch of people in his way. He doesn't know what's happening. So forget the count. Maybe he should be disqualifying these people. I always feel like if they're going that deep, he should follow them and to know what's going on.
What's the difference between that and somebody jumping up on the apron and the referee going over to them and all the shenanigans going on behind him? Shouldn't he be checking on the match to make sure nobody is using a weapon or doing something illegal?
Well, in this case, he's distracted. But today, he was just standing in the ring waiting as opposed to like being involved. That's one of my little pet peeves. I don't even know if that's what they're supposed to do. I could be too, you know, that you could be saying, Jack, they're not supposed to do that. And I'll go, okay, oh, I'm wrong. But
I do want to add one more thing. I do want to add one more thing regarding the length of this match. I think they need to tread carefully because what I see, especially when I saw in Brett and Sean back in 96, was these two guys are at the absolute peak of their career, and there isn't a single human being on this planet that should be able to beat them in less than an hour. So I feel like they really need to look toward the future and say, MJF and Ospreay, if they are beaten clean in under an hour, then I feel like this match would have been for nothing.
I feel like
you look at Brett and Sean, like at no point in their WWF career did they ever really lose cleanly, you know, in the immediate future after that. When Sean lost, is it because, you know, he got hit by a camera by Sid? But when Brett lost, is because, you know, it was a screw job. So I feel like the fact that these guys can't be beat in such an amount of time, I really think if let's say 6 months from now, if Will Ospreay gets beaten clean by like Jungle Boy, like in my mind, I'm gonna be like, wait, so Jungle Boy can beat him in 20 minutes, but MGF can't beat him in 59 or 58? You know, I don't know. So things like that, I feel like they really need to tread carefully for the future of these two gentlemen.
I feel like if we're talking 6 months, and I don't know, I have a feeling they'll be fine anyway. I don't see either of these guys taking a lot of losses in the next 6 months either way. But one thing I did want to add, I was really excited. I think they ended this perfectly, and I want to get your guys' final thoughts on how it did end with MJF as the new champion. And Jimmy, I'll start with you. I loved the fact that MJF won. I love the way he did it. It was sleazy. I love the fact that it did go the distance, because now we talk about layers and storytelling, technically All In. Now Garcia versus MJF is for the International Championship.
I don't think that's official though.
I mean, I don't know. They seem like it. Maybe I'm wrong, but as of now, MJF said and he even was taunting Daniel Garcia throughout. So Garcia, in any case, has a reason, Jimmy, not only to get the championship, but he has a reason to want revenge. It's personal. But also down the line, we all want to see a rematch of Ospreay versus MJF, because this one did go the distance and he did get cheated. So there's two people who have a personal reason to want this championship. I loved how this ended in that way.
I do too. I thought it was the right call, believe it or not. I was skeptical at what the outcome was going to be. You know, are they going to do some screwy finish where somebody gets DQ'd, somebody interferes, MJF, you know, intentionally gets himself disqualified just to show that he's defiant and doesn't care about the championship. He cares about MJF and wants to prove that he's better than everybody. But it adds an interesting layer. And I'm going to throw this out there to you guys, because it's got me thinking, you know, can you see the possibility, if you want to elevate someone like a Daniel Garcia, and he does have a title match against MJF, and this is going into Wembley, before Wembley, and Will Ospreay costs MJF the match against Daniel Garcia, and Daniel Garcia becomes your new international champion. Now you've got some extra heat added to MJF and Ospreay for Wembley, because in my opinion, that is reminiscent. And again, not to compare to the other guys, but that could end up being like a Punk Drew thing.
Yeah.
They just get under each other's skin, and these guys won't need the title or the championship for that match to be a banger and for people to get really invested.
Absolutely. And George, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with that? And what are your thoughts just on the match? Final, like the way it ended, do you like it and where it's going?
Yeah, 1000%. I thought it was great. I thought it sets up the rematch. For the record, I think in storyline reason, I think Daniel Garcia I think his career is over. So that's why I don't think they made anything official for All In, but I think they're setting it up for the rematch to happen at All In for maybe Will Ospreay to win get a comeuppance or win a championship in front of his home country. So yeah, I love the finish, love everything about it. Love the fact that it finished at 59-58. I can't say enough great things about like literally the last 5 minutes of this match.
Love it. So we move on. We had a couple backstage promos. The Acclaim, Swerve Strickland and Mark Briscoe, they make it official. They are a team. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about that with their fifth member. The Elite, they're upset at Team AEW, and they run through all their rivalries as well. Again, this one, we get a little bit at the end here, George, but how did you feel about them putting these teams together for this week? Of course, we have our overall thoughts, but just as far as this week, how do you feel they handled selling it?
I thought it was okay. The reason why I thought it was okay, because it all goes back to how this match was announced. It was so anticlimactic, and it's very clear that this match is happening just because it was on the schedule. And I feel like the buildup has suffered because of that. So the fact that, you know, kind of Acclaim just kind of ran, you know, we'll be on the team too. Like the fact that Adam Page is on Team Elite, that story itself means a lot more, especially when Excalibur kind of mentioned like that's his only way to get his hands on Swerve. But with that said, I think it's okay. Nothing really to really go home about, especially this being the go home Dynamite edition of next week's Dynamite Blood and Guts. But yeah, I think since they announced this match, I think it hasn't really been too much to brag about in terms of the buildup for this Blood and Guts match.
I felt like, again, we've said before, I feel like it's kind of like they could have gotten more mileage out of putting these teams together. Felt a little bit like on the Elite side, they were trying to tell us too much too quickly with the, we got Blood and Guts and there's tag team matches and Okada's got a match with it. It was kind of like, whoa, okay, I can't keep up with all this. Jimmy, your thoughts. And also, do you think that maybe Okada has been hit with a heart-tipped arrow from a flying baby cherub? Now that he has seen Mercedes,
I couldn't put it as eloquently as that, Jack Farmer, but it seems to be the case. I get, going back to what you just said, though, yes, everything does seem to be a little bit of 20 and 10. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But if George does that dance, I wonder if Okada would do the same, react the same way. Yeah, I'm putting it out there.
I was like, George.
I don't know.
CEO.
There you go.
It hits a little different now when you do the dance, doesn't it?
I know. Hey, not that there's anything wrong with it. Go ahead, George.
All right. I will do the.
Oh, shucks, George.
Oh, damn. His internet feed froze. Darn it. Right.
We got this will shock you out.
Oh, sorry. I was doing the dance. Did you guys see it?
Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah, Okada. I already got a message from Okada. He says he loves it. So we got a segment with the Learning Tree. And Jericho says, when you listen to the Learning Tree, good things happen. And if you don't, people get hurt. Minoru Suzuki comes out and says he's getting a match for the FTW title. And Redwood and Bad Apple are banned from ringside. George, you look a little flummoxed by this.
Why did this need to be in front of inside of a ring? This could have easily taken up half the time or a quarter of the time, and it could have all been done backstage, or even like I'd think I'd be okay with like the old school setup where you set up the talk show by the entrance. You know, kind of how they did the Brother Love show back in the day, or the funeral parlor. I think that'd be okay. But dude, like, why are you guys wasting time like going to the ring? It just, if you're gonna do it, at least I don't know. I know you guys love it. I know it's your favorite thing on Dynamite on a weekly basis.
You know, this one was, I thought it started off good. I like the idea that if you don't listen to me, you get hurt. But Jimmy, I felt like they lost a little bit of the kind of crazy Jericho we saw at the end with Samoa Joe last week, where he almost had a Joker-esque vibe to him with his smile. Also, Minoru Suzuki, I know he's a legend. I also still, I feel like he loses every time he's in AEW. So I'm not really that like, oh no, it's Suzuki. It feels a little bit like, okay, it's Suzuki.
No,
am I a bad wrestling fan? I feel like internet's going to tear me to pieces for saying that.
Well, that's what the internet is for, is it not? I mean,
that's true.
Know, so no, I, you know, last week I was more into it because of how him and Joe handled things going through a wall. And like you said, that Joker-esque vibe. But then, like you said, went right back to, hi guys, it's me again. And I was waiting for something different, a little something, even if it was slight. Just anything other than the, hi guys, it's me, you know, I'm here to teach you and I need my TV time and that sort of, and like George said, took up a lot of TV time.
Yeah.
On the 250th and not good TV time like the first match.
Just because it's ironic about, you know, him taking up the TV time doesn't mean it's actually good.
Right.
It's, yeah, so usually I'm on board with this one. This one did feel a little bit like, don't know if it hit the way I typically expect them to. We got a match, though. Mercedes Moné versus Nyla Rose. Mercedes mocks Britt Baker with her own glove, gets a win over Nyla Rose. Afterwards, Mercedes gets pie-faced by a Sting mask-wearing Britt Baker. George, I'll give you the first shot at this one. Thoughts on this one? And we need to give Nyla Rose more TV time, or is that just me?
Might just be you, but she's good.
What?
I've always had a theory. I feel like if you're gonna make someone a world champion, whether it's men or women's, you should be able to invest in them, whether or not they're champion or not. And I feel like that should be a requirement when you decide to make someone a champion. So I think it is a shame that people like Nyla Rose hasn't really been on TV as much in the last couple of years. And, you know, she is a former world champion and that should mean something in that company. With that said, I'm going to sound like a broken record because I cannot say enough great things about the in-ring ability of Mercedes Moné. She is just practically perfect in the ring. I think she's keep going with that personality that she has of just being too good, the mannerisms, the facials, all those things. I think this was an A+ for Mercedes. It was a good match. I can't complain. But yeah, I can't say enough about how good and how pristine Mercedes is in the ring.
Yeah, it's definitely starting to feel like that's a championship that people want to win, as opposed to, frankly, what it was at times where it was, this is the one match that the women are going to have, and that's for the championship. It's starting to feel more and more like a division since Mercedes has won it, and I think that that's one of the reasons they wanted her there. Jimmy, thoughts on the match? And also, I just love the fact that if someone's wearing a Sting mask, they're probably going to attack you.
I think that's a good possibility, especially nowadays. Yeah. But the match, I thought the match was good. I really enjoyed the match. My only thing was going into it, did I have an inkling that Nyla Rose was going to win this in any form or fashion? Unfortunately, no. Mm-hmm. And it also made me think about, have we totally like X-nayed the rating system now? Is it gone? Is it completely out the window?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, though, the TBS and TNT champion has always kind of been like an open challenge kind of championship. At least that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In that case, I still would like to see something where someone earns a title shot instead of, I get the open challenge thing, but so, come on.
Yeah. It's I'm a big fan. I liked how she was like, are you out of your mind when Mercedes was trying to hit her with that move? And I think that she obviously is big. She has that good presence in the ring. I feel like you could get more mileage out of her. Adonde saying, yeah, you can't trust anyone in a Sting mask, not even Sting. We got a promo, and I just want to touch on it. Of course, this will also impact the end of the show, but I want to touch on it because I thought it was great. Jack Perry, to show Darby Allin he doesn't care about Brandon Cutler, beats up Brandon Cutler himself and then says he'll see a real sacrifice tonight. Jimmy, this felt like comic book villain kind of stuff. You know, I thought that was a great little move there. Jack Perry to me has been stellar since his return.
You know what? Talk about taking advantage of what seemed to be a bad call a little while back, especially airing that video, because everybody almost unanimously was saying, no, it shouldn't have been done. But they actually flipped the switch on everybody and made lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, so Jack Perry, and he's bought into this character 150%, and he's making it work. You know, obviously little things along the way were, you know, we complained that when the Young Bucks, the EVPs handed him the TNT championship, maybe they just should have let him keep it then instead of going through the ladder match and all that sort of stuff. You know, those are minor little things, but like, again, he's really, really diving deep into this character and it's working and people are getting on board as far as the heel side of Jack Perry goes.
Yeah. George, any thoughts on this promo?
No, I agree. I think Jack Perry is really coming into his own. I feel like, you know, it goes without saying, maybe the mic stuff maybe needs a little work. Maybe less is more. I think maybe he shouldn't be saying trying to fit so much in such a short amount of time. But yeah, I mean, I think the character itself, I think it's a step in the right direction.
I think he's been, personally, I think he's been growing on the mic. I think he's been a lot better than he's been in the past. Of course, he's not Christian Cage, but who is? But I do think he's moving in the right direction there. We had another promo, and this one was a doozy. Mariah May comes out dressed as Toni Storm and says, the question isn't why, it's what took you so long, and now All Elite Wrestling is all about Mariah. George, this was the answer to why she did what she did. Do you think Mariah May's first promo as a villain was everything it needed to be?
Yes and no, but more yes. I feel like we all need to do a watch along on All About Eve, because I've been hearing. I know somebody in the chat would always mention that in the during our show.
Marie, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel, and I've been hearing it a lot more in the last week. So yeah, we all need to watch All About Eve. Apparently, based on what I saw last week, I thought we were going to see more of like this American Psycho character, because I kept visualizing Christian Bale with all the blood on his face and a big smile, or maybe like a Dexter kind of. And I'm a little upset that maybe we're not seeing a little bit of that. But again, just because something didn't go my way doesn't mean it was bad. So that's what I mean. That was the bad. But again, it was still good. It was still what it needed to be. It still answered a lot of questions. Obviously, she left us wanting more, because I'd like to see more of an explanation. But yeah, like I said, no need to give us all everything this week. There's still over a month before All In. We're going to see, obviously, some kind of face-to-face with her and Toni at some point. But yeah, I feel like good job by Mariah. I'm excited to see where her character evolves into for the next few weeks.
Jimmy, this has been a character and a story that I think has been one of our favorites on this show. Do you like how she handled this?
I do. I like the fact that she came out. She had me fooled at first.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, why hasn't she got a big bandage on her head or anything like this? They got me. Nice. Yeah. And then she came out and she cut the promo. And then the ending was beautiful with the overhead shot of her in the ring and just doing those, lying on the mat, doing those poses. I thought it was well done. And I'm glad that Toni Storm did not appear this week.
Yes.
Sell the injuries. Thank you very much for doing that. You know, like you said, George, lots of time until Wembley. So let's take our time with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Toni Schiavone with strong words during this segment. I don't know if you guys caught that, but overall loved it. I thought it was good. I don't know if we really need to talk about the Bang Bang Gang. They were stripped of the trios titles because Jay White has been injured. So now they're going to get to face the Patriarchy on Collision to try to win them back with a new group. Seems a little confusing for what is really just changing to the third person, but yeah. I guess tune into Collision, see how that goes. Do you guys have any thoughts on Bang Bang Gang versus Patriarchy?
I mean, no. I know there's this, I know what come on say. I know there's this gray area. I know, you know, back in my day we used to have faces and heels. But I would kind of like to know who is a clear-cut face and a heel, or at least give me some kind of hint on maybe who I should be cheering for. you know, because they're both kind of good, some pretty good heels. I don't know, just maybe what I like to have, like maybe like another team involved that was a clear cut babyface that I can cheer for.
Yeah, the I think in AEW right now, if you're going against the patriarchy, you're the good guy. Because no one's better at being the bad guy than Christian right now. So I feel like if the Young Bucks are going up against Christian, guess what? We're rooting for the Young Bucks are the good guys, I should say, in that situation. We get to the main event, Swerve Strickland versus Okada. Match is moving along until Swerve gets the advantage. The Elite come out and ends the match, leading to Team AEW coming out. Eventually, Adam Page makes his way out. But before we can get to the showdown between the two, a brawl happens, security clears everything out, and Darby Allin comes down from the rafters like Sting, and he is going to be the fifth member of Team AEW. Jimmy, I'm very interested to hear your take on this, because it absolutely feels like a lot of potatoes, but also I think old AEW would have ended with MJF winning the championship, where this is the story beat. And also the way they kept Adam Page away from Swerve Strickland and everything else. I feel like a lot happened, but I feel like there's actually a lot of good here. So I'm very interested to see your thoughts.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was done well to set up what they want to set up as the 5-on-5 match, Team AEW versus Team EVP or Team Elite, whatever name tag you want to give it. Again, I would have preferred having the MJF match end the show.
Oh, really?
Because having everybody sit through that match, they were standing on their feet almost the entire match at the beginning. I'm going back to the MJF Will Ospreay match. You heard or didn't hear the crowd at the beginning of this one. We heard them for the entrances, but then they kind of laid out. And they were burned out after the first one. And yes, I understand you want that crossover audience to stay tuned. And yes, they got them hooked with a hell of a match. But you could have put the Swerve thing on. And yes, we complain about Swerve not being presented in the best light as champion. It felt like this match was just there to set up the match, which I get why they did it. I understand why they did it. I thought it was done fine, but I don't feel like it was something that should have ended the show. I get it. The Darby Alley rappelling from the ceiling was a big surprise. They didn't expect to get, you know, an homage to Sting, that sort of stuff. But the MJF was tons more heat. The crowd would have been livid. And going off the air with that image of MJF smiling with the air oxygen mask on, would have been brilliant.
George, interesting. I did not expect that response. How do you feel?
I think it's a win-win either way. I mean, we complained about Swerve not closing the show. Well, now he closed the show. Plus, like, if you would have had that 59-minute, I like that they had that long match in the beginning, because then we had kind of no idea what time it was going to end, as opposed to if we had it at the end, we'd be like, oh, well, there's only 5 minutes left on the show. Clearly, this match ain't going to go 10 more minutes. So I feel like that aspect of it. But, I mean, I thought it was fine. I did not expect to see some kind of clean victory. I didn't think Okada was going to be Swerve so close to All In. But yeah, I do like that tease. I'm loving everything that they're doing with Hangman and Swerve. Going back to last week, I love that Hangman came out of the babyface entrance, because why wouldn't he? He's the babyface in the story. Why would he voluntarily come out of a different entrance? And then you have this week, and again, going back to what I said earlier, I like that Excalibur is kind of reiterating the fact that it's not so much that Hangman's teaming with the Elite. It's more so that's the only way that he can get his hands on Swerve. And I just like that that's still the main story. I would have liked them to maybe remind us that, hey, Swerve's got a big main event coming up soon against Bryan Danielson. But other than that, I know it's all about blood and guts, and maybe right after blood and guts is over, maybe on that in 2 weeks, we'll see a lot more, solidified build up toward All In. But I thought the show was good for the most part.
Yeah. I think that the old AEW or AEW a while back would have had Adam Page and Swerve fight each other in the ring. And maybe this would have happened at a different time in the show. And I don't know. I feel like now I'm left wondering, like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens when these two finally get their hands on each other. I can't wait to see what happens next. I agree that there's a lot of stuff going on, and getting through blood and guts is kind of messy. Not just because blood and guts are messy, but I feel like the structuring and the layout of the show is stuff that we used to complain about, which is now getting a lot more. It's getting better. I think they're improving it a lot. That rounds out this 250th AEW Dynamite. Before we go, though, I want to go through everyone in the chat. Let me know what you think of episode 250. Also in the chat, let us know just overall thoughts of, or in the comments, overall thoughts, everything like that. Jimmy, final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
No, other than the minor hiccups we argued about, Jack, I thought it was a very good show. I thought it was a good 250, and hats off to everybody. Like we said before, they're heading in a new direction. They seem to be taking cues from, I guess, veterans back there. Somebody's listening to somebody, and they're doing well with not only matches, putting good matches in the right places, but structuring the show better. I just wish they'd get rid of that picture-in-picture, and if I could nitpick on one more thing, during that MJF Will Ospreay match, we didn't need the lower third graphic about what's coming up next. Kill those during the match. That's another thing that they should think about. But other than that, I enjoyed the show very much. I thought it was really good, and hats off to him. Continue trucking on through.
I am a proud hater of picture in picture. I do away with it. Abolish it. I hate the thing. George Hermosa, final thoughts, and where can the world find you? Oh, Jimmy, where can we find you online?
Yeah, see, I was so excited that I liked the show, I forgot to put that out there.
No one's going to say that online.
Of course not.
You've got a Twitter personality to live up to.
Yeah, I got to check the cash tomorrow. Never mind. Hey, what the hell? Anyways, you can find me here on Wednesday nights with you guys, and I don't know if Triple J is back on Monday, but someone's out golfing. I think Justin's out golfing, but you can find at least me and you on Monday, Jack, and we'll see who else who's in the third wheel. And, of course, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, our producer, holds the glue together. This week we had Tommy Blacha, the former writer for not only WWE, but for Conan O'Brien.
And cool.
Yeah, he did a lot of good stuff. It was a fun chat. It was really insightful. Yeah. And he also reveals who Idea was, the Mae Young giving birth to the hand.
Someone's going to be unhappy that information.
I heard a story about Tommy Blanchet was the one that came up with give you a big tall glass of shut up juice. And then he like gave it to Conan. But then he was like, I don't want to use that joke. But then he saw The Rock use it on TV. I'm like, oh, that was supposed to be my joke. But then The Rock ended up using the old shut up juice.
Right.
Interesting. Mm. Well, before you have your glass of shut up juice, George, let me know what you think of the show, and where can the world find you online?
I thought the show was really good. I have like a useless rant, and I want to know if you guys, I'm sure you guys are going to disagree because it's so useless. I wish AEW had better pay-per-view names. Like All In, Full Gear, Revolution. Like they're just such generic names. You know who had the best pay-per-view names? You're going to like this one, Jack. WCW had phenomenal pay-per-view names. And I feel like, and because it's like, if you Google Halloween Havoc, if you Google Great American, that's what you're going to see. If you Google Double or Nothing, you're not going to see AEW. You're going to see a lot of poker references. If you Google Revolution, you're not going to see AEW. You're going to see like a lot of Revolutions, I wish that they had more wrestling unique names when it comes to the pay-per-views. Wrestle Dream, I think, is a great name. Am I the only one? Am I just useless ranting?
I agree. Of course, every company has their fair. I don't like. I like All In and All Out. Actually, I like those names. I thought Double or Nothing was a cool one-time name to go after All In. You know who has the best? For my dollar, it's TNA. I mean, Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory is a great name.
Cross the Line, Slam.
But they have a lot of them.
Great names.
Sacrifice, Lockdown. Yeah. They're a little on the same length. But I thought WCW, like Great American Bash, Halloween Havoc, Starrcade, Super
Slammiversary.
Slamboree. Those are great, fantastic names. Wrestle Dream, I think, is a great name. Wrestle Dynasty or even New Japan Wrestle Kingdom, fantastic name. And I'm so happy that I'm not the only one because I'm reading the chat. Yeah, hallelujah. You can keep hearing my useless takes on G Hermosa, GHERMOZA, on all the social medias.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just curious as to why they would have a, what was it called? Beach brawl, beach blast recently in Chicago. I know they're on the lake, but
that always, you know what? WWE's bad at that too. Cause like SummerSlam's in Cleveland.
The mistake by the lake, as they used to call it.
You got to put the summer themed ones by the beach.
Like remember how amazing Bash at the Beach 95 was because it was on an actual beach.
How cool was
that? Like how amazing was that?
Well,
speaking of, that's what I think AEW needs.
So fired up.
I think that's what AEW needs to do a lot more. They need to do the things that WWE is not doing. Have a ring on a beach and have a pay-per-view there. I'm not saying copy WCW, but you know, when they had Hog Wild and they had all the
Sturgis. Reds.
Yeah, like how cool was that visual? It was something that's so different that WWE was not offering. That's what AEW needs to focus on. Like when they had the
Mall of America on the
Jericho Cruise, like that was super cool. Sorry, okay, go on.
No, you're right. I was going to say, it's tough to compare any of these, by the way, to WWE names because WWE feels so historic and like, mm-hmm. built in. Like it's hard for me to objectively compare a name to like Royal Rumble or like WrestleMania. If I had never heard the name WrestleMania before, mm-hmm. would I like it today? Or I love it, but it's also like, you know, it's been kind of indoctrinated into me. That's the biggest show of the year, so of course I love it, you know. I wonder how I'd feel if I heard the Survivor Series. Sounds cool too. Come on, that just sounds like a cool SummerSlam, right? That sounds cool too. But they do have stinkers every now and again, like Stomping Grounds.
bragging rights.
That does it for us. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I will be on the Wrestling Inc. SmackDown show this week, I believe. I should double check my calendar. So make sure to tune into that one. Again, like, comment, share, subscribe. Carlos, Ricky, Secular Belt, Burner Account, and Danny Cochran. Adonde, thanks so much for joining us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news. And make sure to tune in to SmackDown because I'll be on that after show. We're hitting the end stream button. My pin don't click.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.